because of how great he is. And you stay here worrying. You wonder why Pastor can smile. I don't get much sleep. We up in the night, and thank God for Sister Rosie who's there for me. It's a lot. She's actually doing two-man's work and career short staff. I cannot do as much, so I'm only half, and so she's doing almost two. She has to do my share. It's true, though. You know, she has to do my share, and help me to pick up the parts. So, but God is good to us, and we appreciate the Lord. I mean, and I have fun. You know, my only concern in life now is that to give out what God has given me, and to love God with all my heart. And when my day comes to clock out, to have an abundance of entrance into the kingdom of God, that's all I wish for. My New Year's or my wish is just to know him. And I was thinking of God this morning as I was listening to different ones speaking, how great he is. And I want to just go through this one chapter today, if I can. It's 31 verses, and if we could read together, and I want you to focus. Forget everything behind you and begin to focus on God. Can you do that? Yeah. We want to slow down how good God is. And I know that I'm not able to explain the depth of this scripture, the awesomeness of this scripture. And when you think of how great creation is, and a lot of us know that little Andre astronomy, knows some about it, that he knows the awesomeness of the planets and creation and the stars and distance in lights and light here. Am I right? Something like that, you know? And he's advanced more than I know. But then you think of all of this, right? But Isaiah chapter 40 is not focusing so much on that. He's focusing on God. A lot of us, we goes out there and we focus on, oh, what a wonderful mountain. But we don't focus upon the Creator. We see the rivers. We see the ocean. And we get excited about that. But there's someone had to create it. And we forget the Creator to give him glory. And we worship the creature instead of the Creator. We fail to see how great God is and how wonderful God is. And you miss God. And we don't focus on what God focus on. The heavens declare his glory, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show it is in the word. You look around and everything witness to the awesomeness of this God. And yet we, his creature, fail to give him the glory. We look at these things and what a wonderful house. That was built by a man. Taking the materials that God creates and build it. And we focus on all this. What a wonderful city. And we miss the awesome power of Almighty God. And we miss to focus on what God focuses on. And he says, comfort ye my people. Verse 1, saith the Lord, or said your God. Speak you comfortable to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Notice, this is coming. This is the future, that her warfare. Right now, she's not finished her warfare yet. You know the problems that's going on right now in the Middle East and Jerusalem, even with to move the, to make her the capital and all that going to. I'm not going to that because you know that. But she's not yet comforted because it will take God and the people of God to comfort her when she see her children. And said that her warfare is accomplished. This is a beautiful chapter now. Get it? That her iniquity, see, is is pardoned. That's that. There's no better feelings. There's no greater feelings than to know that sins are forgiven. Your sins are pardoned, and you come to the end of this year with your sins forgiven. You look back and no guilty conscience, There's nothing hanging over your head. You can lift up your head and say, thank God, I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What he's saying here, she sinned a lot. But what God has done is that God has given her more blessings. In other words, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In other words, grace is greater than our sin. When we deserve death, when we deserve to die, what did he do? He gave us grace. Amen. Grace, amazing grace, which is, I want you to help me now. I want you all to come and help me. Amazing grace, which is greater than all our sins, and merited favor. And Paul would many times says grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, read on says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. There was a wilderness. Now, the wilderness that the Bible is talking about is not the wilderness up in the mountains. But there's a wilderness in the church right now. There's a wilderness in the city. Wherever the light of God does not penetrate, wherever the love of God does not penetrate, wherever the truth of God is not penetrate, it's a wilderness. And there's a voice crying out in the wilderness. You remember, was it in Genesis? With Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned. And what did God do? And God called them. The voice of God. They said, we heard your voice. But we were afraid. We hid ourselves from your voice. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness. See, it's the voice of God that's crying in the wilderness of your heart, of your mind, of your soul, of your spirit. That voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. You see, John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner. Now we know Elijah is also coming as a forerunner before the great and notable day of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's what the message that John had at the first advent. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert. Wilderness, desert, a highway for our God. You know, before Christ came, everything was blocked. The way to God. But Jesus Christ came to open up the way. He is the way. And verse 4 says, notice, read on. Every valley, read up, come on. Every valley shall be exalted. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked, hallelujah. You know, we had some crooked stuff in our lives, right? And some rough places. Nobody could get there. A pastor had a hard time getting in some of those areas in our lives. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some mountains that nobody can climb. Some, no, pastor, I submit. I'm going to do it. And then, whoops, you do whatever you want to do. Rough places in your life. Some steep mountains that no, nobody can get to. Rough places. See, and desert. Wilderness. When you think it's good and great and blooming, it's just a desert in our lives that nothing was planted there. But thank God for a voice. See, that voice that can penetrate the desert, the wilderness. And he said, make the, and the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough place is plain. And the glory, here's what's going to happen. when all those areas in our lives are dealt with, the rough areas, those areas that we hold back and we will not let God penetrate it. Are you following me?
Amen.
We will not let God penetrate it. It says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in those areas. Amen. And will conquer those steep, rough, deserted, dark areas of our minds. And then, when those places come under the power of God, the glory is revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. John said we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For this is what why you can put confidence in the word of God. For the mouth, shout. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. When God gives you a word, listen, when God gives you a word, you can say amen.
Amen.
When God gives you a word, you stay in the word. Heaven and earth will pass away.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Amen.
But my word shall never pass away. The voice said, listen now, you have to hear. A lot of times we don't listen, we just do. Well, I'm hearing God, but you do what you want to do. And you kid yourself that you're listening, but you're not. You're not. You know what you want to do. You know you're going to do it. You know your mind is made up. Okay? Those are steep mountains. I'm not talking about the mountain up in the hill. I'm talking about the mountain in your heart. The hills. That you need to make a plane. And make it straight. Those crooked. You say one thing, but you do another thing. Those are crooked ways. And crooked path. You know in your mind you're going to do it. But you say something else. Or you pretend. Or you act like, well, I'm going to do this. You know, you ever see a sidewinder? It's going straight. Want to go straight, but it's winding. Well, we want to go straight, right? But we're winding. Oh, I'm going to do this. We're winding. We're not going straight with God. We're not telling God the truth. We're not speaking the truth. We're saying something else. And we know in our hearts that we're not going to do it. That's what we want to do. Nobody can change you. And many times the pastor knows he just let you do it. He just let you do it. Until the glory of God come in your life, you'll never change. Because it's that glory that straightened us out. He said, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? What's the message? Well, what should I preach? Lord, give me a message for these people. Lord, you know that there are mountains and desert and wilderness in their lives that I'm not able to deal with. What shall I? I need a message so I can get in there and present the message where the glory will be revealed.
Yeah.
What should I preach? And the Lord said, look at that. The Lord said, this is what? You know, tell them, why are you exalted? Why are you lifted up? That little pride that you have, it's nothing. What are you running after? In other words, the Lord wanted to let you know that all flesh is grass. You just a little bit of grass. Go there and cut it down. But yet we are exalted. We come up and we resist and we challenge God. God says all flesh is grass.
Yes.
If you could only humble yourself and see you with the lawnmower running over you. But yet you're somebody. You will not let go of that pride. And that's what destroyed the devil. He think he was somebody. I will. But he said, tell them that all flesh is grass. I'm telling you today, you and I are just grass. Did you get the message? Okay, you are just grass. And all the goodliness thereof. You know, all that you've accomplished. Oh, I did this and I got this. I achieved this. Is just like the flowers that of the field. Have you ever seen the flowers? They spring up and you go back there in a few days. They're gone. The sun comes up. That's the way we are. Short-lived glory. Short-lived things that we have, pleasures, and all of that. It's short-lived. The world, Christmas, I was telling you about Christmas. How short it is. I told you, don't trade. Don't let the spirit of Christmas deceive you. There's nothing there. And you run and said, I'm going to get some. But after it's over. Now, notice here. If you could feel the way you feel after you accomplish it. But it's before you feel good, you will never give it up. But it's when it's over and it's done and you did it and you miss God, you feel rotten. Try and feel that way before you do that. Get to the place where you begin to, Lord, bring me to that place where I can see and feel and see that there's nothing there. I run, but nothing to gain. But my running should be after the word of God. My running should be after the glory. That glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 7 says, it repeats it for emphasis, so you don't miss it. You know when something is repeated, right? When he said it twice. Why? Because he wants you to get it. He says the grass withered. Amen? And the flowers faded. Both glory. The glory of the grass and the glory of the flowers withered. And it faded. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Now notice here, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely, notice, you want to get out of this state. You want to get beyond this where you're not just grass. You want to come up on a higher level where you're not just grass, but you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout. The grass withereth, all of that glory. See, you ought to look at that glory that you run after and you try to accomplish that glory and you hold on to everything and you can't, you know, this is what I want. It's grass. It's a flower like the flower that's going to fade. Okay? But, he says, the grass withereth, the flower faded because the Spirit of the Lord blew it upon it. Surely the people is as grass. Do you want to stay in that element? Do you want to go along with the joy and the entertainment of the world? Tonight, people will gather in the cold and the freeze. That's okay. But after, nothing. Shout a little bit at the little frisbee coming down in the sky. That's fine. But I want to tell you something, there's more real. That's what the Bible is saying. Amen. There's something more real. Come on. And that's the glory of God. Yes. The grass withered. Verse 8. The grass withered. The flower faded. But shout. But what should you be seeking after? But the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. And that's why I was so excited over the past few days, because when I saw those pastors traveling hundreds of miles and sitting up at Christmas time, they gave up. They left their home, gave up stuff for God. If you want God to bless you, give up something. David said, I will not offer. Are you all following me? David said, I will not offer unto God anything or nothing that didn't cost me anything. It's the thing that you love, you want to do, your treasure, you turn your back on it and says, I'm going to do something for God. That's it. Amen. Amen. You'll give up something that you want. Ruth could have gone back, like her sister-in-law. Naomi asked her to go back. But she wouldn't go back. Moses could enjoy, the Bible said, the pleasures of Egypt for a season. But he didn't. What did he do? What did he do? He went in the wilderness. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because it's over. If Moses had gone back and stayed in Egypt, You have never heard about it. But he gave that up. And esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt for a season. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now back to Isaiah 40 verse 9. Now notice. Read on. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings. Get here. This is awesome. Get thee up into the mountain. You understand what mountain you should seek for? Get thee up into the mountain. There's a mountain that we need to get up into. What mountain is that? Mount Zion. We should be marching, climbing Mount Zion. Get thee up, notice, into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Right, you know, so when we wear ourselves out with the word, you come to church, you're dead. You're singing, it's dead. You're testifying, you're praying. Whatever you're doing, it's dead. There's no life there. Because you spent your life to the world. In other words, you spent it to the grass. And to the flower that faileth. And when you come, you should have the zeal of the Lord. You should have the joy of the Lord. But you can burn yourself out to the world and miss God. And when you look up, with all that, what's there? Nothing. You don't have anything left. Hosanna, that bringeth good tidings. Get thee up. Notice here. Notice. Get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Read. Lift up the voice, thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah,
behold.
What are you going to say?
Behold.
What are you going to say?
Behold.
Because you have a message. Behold, your God. Point them to who?
God.
What should the church be doing? What's the message?
Behold
your God. That's what I'm doing this morning. Pointing you to God. Can you see that? I'm trying to get you away from the spirit of the grass and the flowers. The world, the pleasure. That doesn't last for anything. You deal, and after that you're miserable. You didn't get nothing over there. Oh, I would to God I'd follow God. But the next time you go back and do it again. And again. Because you will not submit. Until finally it catches up with you. Because here comes a time when you do it one more last time. Behold, the Lord God will come. With what?
Strong hands.
That's why I want to be there. I want to get on the side of strength. I don't want to be on the side of flowers and grass that withers. I don't want to be on the side of the pleasures and the entertainment of the world. Huh? Sure, you're in this world. You're in this world, fine, sure. You world, but not of the world. See? You can put your Christmas tree up if you want to, but by the 2nd of January, it's at the side. You ever notice the thing you treasure and beautify them? No, you throw it on the side of the road. Did it satisfy you? No. But next year, you do the same thing. You're repeating, and the devil knows how to get us. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. The arm of the Lord is Jesus Christ. Behold, his reward, this is it, see? He's not coming to give you flowers and grass. Amen. But when you go for the world, you already get your reward. And what do you have in your hand? A little bit of grass and some withered flowers. But I want to endure and work with God because he's coming.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Jesse is coming, brother. And he's coming with a strong arm. And his arm shall rule with him. And we noticed a little bit of that arm Tuesday and Wednesday night. That was the arm of God stretches from Merced all the way to the Philippines and all the way to the Philippines back. And it was strong. Why was it strong? Because the word of God, God did it. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed, I like this, his flock like a shepherd, because he's a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. So we know he's talking about the good shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What does he do? He feed the flock with what? He lead me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in green pastures. Notice, that's what I want. Not the pastures of the world. Not the flowers of the world. But I want to walk in the garden of God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. And shall gently lead those that are with young. See? You're pregnant with God's word, God's zeal, God's anointing. You're young. You're fruitful. You're not just sitting there barren and let the world consume you. You let the world eat you up. And you said, I will serve God, but I'm going to serve him my way. I know how to serve him. I'll do it my way. There's nobody here or in the world that knows how to serve the Lord. It's God. It's not you or me, but it's God. So it says that here. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. And he shall, notice, carry them in his bosom and shall... see that here? Do you see how he leads them? Gentle. He shall gently lead them. You know, I see some ministers. I was watching a minister last night. And I said to my wife, I says that, look at how he's beating up everybody. He's not even gentle. He has not read the scripture that tells you that he leads you beside still waters. And he was just beating up everybody. And I said, well, this man was just beating up, and everybody else was wrong but him. He's right. And because he claimed to be a prophet, and he knows everything. And give him a few years. Give him a few fall and a few stumble. He has not the experience when he fall off of those mountains that he's building. And he forget that the mountains are to become a plain. But he said, I like this, said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd and shall lead and shall gather the lambs with his arms. And notice, because there's a lot of people that are wounded, they need some help. They need to be carried. And carry them in his bosom. And shall, see that word? Gentle lead those that are with young, so they don't have a miscarriage. You can just drive them. Who had measured? It began to show you now some of the greatness of God. It's been showing you the greatness of God. Look at it. Read it. Said who? Read up. Who had measured? Everybody, look and pay attention. Everybody, pay attention to me. Okay. Good. Church. Who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hands? Just imagine. The oceans. The rivers. The sea that you're amazed at. Oh, I never seen a lake like that. That's wonderful. But don't get caught up with the lake. Get caught up with the one who made it. Because you're amazed. What a wonderful, awesome body. What a mighty ocean. But he holds all of that ocean in the hollow of his hands. I'm trying to show you how great God is and who is his God. That the mountains and he weighs the mountain in a scale. Let's go on. Said he and meted out heaven With a span. That means he measured it, right? And comprehend. That means comprehend means he knows every dust. He can count that little part, every dust. He meted out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. He measured it. And weighed the mountains in a scale. That mountain you run and you're excited, you can't serve God. You got to get away to the mountain. Why don't you get to God? He makes the mountain. You're wondering at the creature instead of the creator. Are you listening to me now? You are amazed at the creature. Oh, what a wonderful lake. God's got that in his hand. What a wonderful mountain. I've never seen a... Oh, the mountains. Come off that mountain. Come off that... Ah, you get down. He weighs that. He weighs it. The mountains. Comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure. That means he measures it. He weighs it and weighs the mountain in a scale and the hills in a balance. You ever see a scale that he balances it? Okay, this one is too heavy. He cut a little piece off and then it balances it. That's God. Okay, that's the God that you're supposed to get excited about. Not the mountains, not the lakes, not the ocean, not the Christmas season. Come on. Get with it and serve God. Get your heart right. Don't become an idol worshiper. Give the glory to God. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Rejoice in the goodness of God. Love the Lord with all your heart. Don't just get stuck at the creature, but worship the Creator. How great is our God. Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord? Nobody. Or bring his counselor, or being his counselor, I taught him. Somebody said, all right now. Okay, I know you're a good singer. I know you have a talent, but let me train you. I know God called you for the ministry, but listen to me, I'm going to instruct you. You follow that? You end up in the dumps. Because only God can lead you. Amen. He leads you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, I need to find somebody that trained me and lead me in the way. Go ahead. Go ahead. You come out sounding like a cuckoo bird. Go ahead and do it. See, you got to understand, when God called you, he already have that gift planted inside of you. And now the Spirit of God will blow upon you and direct you in the way of the Lord and help you. He'll put you in the right ministry. Well, I got to seek out for a ministry for myself. He'll lead you. If you lead, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. The problem is that we run ahead of him. You know, I go on Facebook and I see all these guys and they're always selling something. That's really what they're doing. They're selling you their knowledge. You follow me and I'll do this for you. I'll make you this. I'll make you a good leader. I'll make you a good speaker. When it pleased God who called me and separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me, immediately I confer not with men. Flesh and blood. I was going to call some names, but I'm not going to do that. But I'm trying to say, to get your head out of that and get your head in the Bible. I've seen people on Facebook and I laugh at them. Because they know more better. Actually, sometimes they're more crazier. Until God touch you. Yes. He has to blow upon you. Amen. The breath of God, the Spirit of God has to breathe on you. With whom took he counsel? Nobody. Are you listening? Who instructed him? No one. And taught him in the paths of judgment. And taught him knowledge. And showed to him the way of understanding. Nobody did. Are you listening? Nobody did. Listen to the word. Nobody did this to God. He alone. He took not counsel with men. See, when God has a call, Brother Jesse and you, you know that. You've been around. You've seen men. And many times, all that man can make you is just like himself. So you better know you're finding a man like Paul or Timothy then, or Titus, or someone that
following Christ.
That has the touch. Has the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Or knowledge of God. That's it, dear. She's listening. Behold the nations. Come on closer now. Behold the nations are as a drop off a bucket. Can you look here? Look here. Everybody. Everybody look at that. It can't even come off. That's the nation. Every nation. That's what they are in the sight of God. A drop in the bucket. Now when this, look along. And when it get in the bucket, you can't even see that. It goes in the bucket, it can't come back out. That's you. That's the nations. The nations. I mean, you're worrying and getting all excited. And somebody say, I want to serve God, but I'm afraid of my husband or my wife or my children or my kids. You little clown. Afraid of who? The righteous are as bold as a lion. When God calls you and somebody gets in your way, eat them up. They're bread. You eat them up. You get in my way. You stop me. I'll eat you up. I'll eat you up. The righteous are as bold. A lion doesn't turn back. When a lion goes for to kill it, the shepherds can say all they want to. That little lamb is gone. Amen. And we're serving the lion of the tribe of Judah. And as he is, so are we. I don't understand. Well, I want to do it, but what? I'll eat you up. I'll eat you. You're not even bread enough. Why? Because if you've got God on your side, the reason why you're afraid is because you don't know God. The first thing, God has not given us the spirit of fear. You're not supposed to be afraid of nobody. When, if God give you and say, do this, nobody can stop you. But it's because you have a sidewinding mind. A crooked mind. And you don't know him. But when you know this God that I'm talking about, that the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as a small dust and balance, and behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. When you know this God, nothing can make you afraid. Amen?
Amen.
Praise
God.
Why are you looking at me like that? Is there somebody you're afraid your little heart go when they're saying, if God tell me to do that, and they say, no, you stop. When God tell me to do something, my wife can't stop me. There's no way my wife can stop me. There's no way in God's word my wife can stop me. Absolutely not. Absolutely, totally not. Because I don't worship my wife. I worship the Almighty God. And when God tells you something, women, you don't worship your husband.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. You notice when God was using my wife here, I stood there. God was using her. She had a word. And she didn't care what did you know I was standing there? Yeah. But she know I'm suffering. But my wife know that she put God first. My wife didn't care if I followed, she picked me up. That's it. She knows that. And I know her. She's going to give forth the word of God. When she make up her mind, she's going to do it. So I just stand there, and I was suffering a little bit. And a little moment, I was wondering, don't she see me standing? I know she did. Because we talk about it 1 week when I was the same, you know, back there. And she knows about it. She don't care. When my wife get wound up, she don't care. And I admire that. But when God called me and I'm doing something, Annie, my wife learned. I used to meditate and get me talking about, honey, come to bed. Okay. I didn't say when. Because I know she's going to fall asleep. I've been through all of that. And I accomplished what God. And the next morning she get up. When did you come to bed? That's another story. What I'm trying to show you now, you got to get to the place where God's first. Husband, wife, children, in-law, outlaws. You got to get to the place where God is first. Yeah. Amen. Where God is first. And I want to jump up. I want to stand up. Until God is first. Until God is first, you ain't going to get nowhere. You got to bypass those relatives. That's pulling you apart. Get rid of them. You always have to do something and you can't get them to church. Now, you blame God for this message. He spoke to me this morning. Verse. Now I'm trying to show you how great it is. Lebanon, and Lebanon is not enough. Not sufficient to burn as a sacrifice. You get all the wood, the cedar of Lebanon, and build fire, and get all the cattle and all of that. It's still not enough. Amen. What he's trying to show you, that you don't have to be afraid of anybody. When Almighty God called you, get up. Come on, man up. Be a woman. Get to you. Get off that little spirit. You're nothing but a grass and flowers. And let God prevail, you little grass. Well, I can't come to sing because I got you little grass. Well, I can't stand up to testify, you little flowers. It's time that you wake up, grass, flowers, that's failing, and do something for God. Well, I can't come to church. I got a headache. What with all those stripes you went to the cross? You ought to pull your head and get to church. I said, I'm going to do it. Because that demon not going to leave you until you overcome it. The demon of pleasure. The demon of laziness. That twisting. Come on, wake up and see the excellency of God. It's showing you how great God is. Not you. It's not about you. Because he already done tell you who you are. Grass, reed, flowers, he described your dust. And all that stuff. Okay? God's already described you and tell you who you are. And now he's telling you who he is. First he did was tell you, little grass, who you are. Well, he said, the mountains become a plain. The desert. He tell you all of those things. Who you are. Did you see yourself there? Now, see his glory. And he says, Lebanon is not enough for burnt offering. That's what he's saying. Nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Nothing. So what are you going to give him? Hey, you come here and you can't even come here and give a little five minutes testimony for an hour. You're always sick. Or you're always missing. You got some excuse. It's a demon in you. The next time you feel that way, get to God. Just try it. You'll like it. Try it. Get on your knees and say, I rebuke the spirit. Next time when you feel that urging and you got to do something before God, You rebuke that spirit. Face up with it, little grass. Amen. Flowers. And sometimes I watch the little, you know, driving down the street. Look at the flowers driving away. Look at the little grass going away. Yes, your pastor thinks so, because he knows you're grass. But we want some stable men and women in this church that love God. Whether it rains, shine, whatever it is, they'll stand up for God. Amen. When it's time to fight, you fight. Because we are in a warfare. No, it's time to fight. But see, my folks invite me to come over and eat turkey. No, God wants you to have church. That's right. Tell them. That's okay. She's preaching with me. She knows getting the message. You got to stand up and say, I'm tired of being grass. I'm tired of being the flower that failed. I'm tired to be the dust, Brother Jesse. I want to be a mountain for God. I want to head to the mountains. Come on. Wake up and preach and rejoice in God. You need backbones. Amen. Amen. You need to stand up for Almighty God and say, nobody can pull. And you get nervous. Don't be afraid when somebody speaks. That's just a little wind. It's just a little wind blowing. You ever seen the wind blowing the tumbleweeds? And the paper? That's not you. You're stable and grounded in God. Verse all nations? Notice, before him are as nothing. So are they rising up, and they are counted as nothing less than nothing. And, I missed that. First it said they are nothing, and they are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. So, this is heavy math. Katie, I want you to help me. I know you're good. This is math. Okay, now let's get with it, Millie. All of you are good at math. Now, if it's nothing, there's nothing there. Right? All nation is count. When you look, there's nothing there. Right? Right? Is Ezekiel? I mean, Elijah. Right. I was close. All nation. Are you ready with your math? All nations before him are as nothing. So what's there?
Nothing.
So when your family telling you, you go to church again? That's a nothing. They're nothing. But you make them something. Well, we're going to be upset if you don't come over. That's nothing. You're responding to nothing. It's a wind. But you start to shake that. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, I need to let you come up here and teach me and explain it to me. Now, you want to come and explain this to them? Now, help me. All nations before him are as nothing. We get that?
Yes.
Nothing. That means?
Nothing.
Marina?
Nothing.
You're the teacher. What? Nothing?
Nothing.
That means when you go there, if you don't have nothing in your bank account and you draw out, you write a check for 100, what do you get? So, there's nothing. So, when some country said, we're going to push the nuclear button, and we're going to blow up the earth, what are you listening to?
Nothing.
All nations before today, the amazing thing, and they are counted.
To him.
Only God can count nothing.
Yes.
They are counted to him as less. Than nothing.
Negative.
They're gone into what? The minus? Negative?
Negative.
Help me. I'm just a simple man. I don't know. I need your help. And he had to it. Less than nothing and vanity. If you could see yourself like that, if you could see your relative like that, if you could see the things you're afraid of.
Hallelujah.
And you know, and the little nothing threat, you said, if you go to church, I'm not going to speak to you anymore. Praise the Lord. Nothing from nothing. And less than nothing. Vanity. So, when that person approaches, no one say, "Oh, just a little. What was that? Just nothing." Honey, who's that on the phone? Nobody. Nothing. What's going on? Nothing. I want to know what's going on. It's less than nothing. That's powerful. Isn't that powerful? That's awesome. God is. So it makes you want to serve Him. It makes you want to shout. And the next verse says, to whom then? We're getting into it. And I won't be able to finish this today. Maybe tonight. Now, focus. To whom then will you liken God? Question. Tell me. If the nations are nothing and less than nothing and vanity, who will you liken God? Tell me something about Him. What likeness?
Compare.
Will you compare? To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto Him? Who? You know somebody that you should be afraid of them? You need to stop tiptoeing among the tulips. And be a man and a woman of God. When they're trying to stop Paul from going somewhere, Paul says, what are you trying to do? I'm not only willing to go preach there, but I'm willing to die. Yeah. Well, I say you can't do it. That you just do exactly what God tells you to do.
Yeah.
That's right. You're bold. Oh, you can't do it. Devil said, oh, you never preach to the Philippines. The devil, you know. I was kind of ignoring the devil. Oh, because I set out to accomplish all of that this year. A lot of stuff I did. And I accomplished two. And when one, I mark it out. One. And the devil said, but you're not going to accomplish the Philippines. First thing, the fear was doubled. Next thing, I could hardly stand up. The devil said, see there, all those proofs. The evidence. He said, I got the evidence. And he looking at me and say, who? How are you going to do it? He did. But I never lose and get excited. Never. And up to the last, and the fear was keep getting high or whatever, wouldn't go down. We didn't have the money to buy. Didn't have the support. It was a lot. But God made a way.
Amen.
To whom will you liken Him? Devil? He tried to stop us, but God made another way. And help us to accomplish everything. Somebody shout glory. Seen around the world. Get feedbacks. God. Who will you liken Him? God outsmart the devil every time. And God gave my wife an idea. When we couldn't go, and she sought help, and these precious brothers helped. Then, are you all listening? Then we need finances to help them. Somebody said, don't talk how much you give them. I don't care if you tell somebody else. I don't care. That actually, it's good. You're giving us free commercial. And some of these women got together, my wife and a few, they worked like dogs. I mean, crazy. You know what they did? Make egg rolls and sell egg rolls. I was able to send $500 to Pastor Kenneth.
Amen.
We did. We did. Yes, we did.
$500.
We could have used that money for ourselves. We have things to do upstairs. We suffered. But I know that if we bless somebody first, Do you know how I felt when I talking to Mama Hosanna, the lady I love so much?
Amen.
When I seen that apartment that she have, she deserves it. Somebody know she didn't. She deserve it. She built with her husband Sharon Village and the movement over there. She did it. They did it. Nobody else. I don't even have to think about that because they did it. And that woman deserved the best. And in her mature age, she is so happy. She has a nice, she called it a 5-star. That's what she said it was. Why shouldn't she get it? She earned it. And God put it in my heart when I was there to do it, and we did it. Thank God. And you know what else? And Sister Rosie sent her for her Christmas a brand new microwave. And she has it. What's wrong with that? She deserved it. She raised my wife. Why shouldn't she turn around and bless her? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So God's good.
Yes.
And to whom then? I want to ask a question. I want you to think because I'll pick it up tonight. To whom then will you lighten God? Because this is too big for me. You know why I'm stopping here? So we can chew it tonight. I want you to think, to whom then will you lighten God? Listen. Some nations, some people think that he's a big piece of stone. You know what I'm talking about? Nations, they're gods. We have them in America. We bow down and worship them. There's God. Who do you lighten God? That big, overblown stomach man. And you're looking, that's God. To whom then will you lighten God? Some people get a piece of wood and carve it out and say, that's your God. Look what they did. The piece of wood, they get a wood and they carve it. They carve the tree down and they burn part for the fire and cook. And the other part, they decorate it and be a God. I'm not going to upset you with your Christmas tree. That's why my wife put up Christmas tree, but I don't care about Christmas tree. That don't mean nothing. Because some country, they decorate a part. And they burn a part for cook the bread or whatever. And they decorate a part and worship a part. We don't worship it, but we just decorate it. And if we can't get the live one, we use the artificial one. It don't make sense. That don't mean nothing. We got to have lights. There's only one light you need. Is Jesus Christ. No, I'm not against Christmas. I'm not against Christmas light or Christmas tree. You know, ask my wife. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right, Brother Andrew? All right. So I want you to focus on that. Because this is awesome. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Carve out something. Tell me, get up and describe him. You can never do that. But I want to pick that up tonight. Amen?
Amen,
amen people?
Amen.
You come back tonight because isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
You're getting an insight into God. To whom will you liken God? God bless you. Let's stop right there.